You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Monday, December 26, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, alongside the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive. Fantasy Executive Corey Barson, and of course Tony Zicata as well. It's a Monday, it's a holiday for you, but we are here and we are with you to celebrate, to discuss, to mourn, all of the above. Gentlemen, what's going on, Scotty?
Happy Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to everybody. Hope they enjoying it so far. Hope you won your fantasy titles and a great Sunday of sports action. The Ravens and the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger with a fine comeback, and Kyrie Irving reminding the Golden State Warriors of June on a very clutch basket.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Corey, what's going on? Merry Christmas.
What's the deal? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody. Congratulations. Also, there's some people that's going to be very upset this morning. The fantasy football season is coming to an end without the trophy, so I guess we're here to discuss it, look back, look ahead, finish up, get ready for the night, you know what I mean, the whole thing. And then it's time to change our focus into some baseball and some daily fantasy basketball and whatever else the case may be. Golf coming back soon. I seen where Pat did his preview already, 2017 preview, so it's the fun is not over.
Tony, what's going on?
Christmas, a lot of games yesterday. Actually, yesterday was a weird day. Actually, the family sat and watched basketball together. Usually, they don't partake in the basketball, but we all watched. There was some great games yesterday.
Yeah, there were some great games yesterday. I, of course, was stuck at a Christmas party that was like one of these old-fashioned Christmas parties. Where's our TV?
It was no TV?
No TV.
Oh, man, I would have been out of that joint.
You don't have a choice. It's,
you know. Oh, yeah. I guess you didn't have a choice. Yeah.
You sit there, and I'm looking around the room here. We got the Christmas tree, right? You got the old-time CD player playing. That's right, a CD player.
What was y'all listening to?
Christmas music.
Barbra Streisand?
Sure. So we're sitting around, and I'm looking at my watch, and it's like noon. I'm like, all right, I'm sure we'll go downstairs with like the TV. It's like 4:30, the game's on.
Yeah.
I'm looking around.
Nothing.
We have some lunch around 1. Fine, no problem. Come back. We talk 2, 3, 4, 5. And now I'm just like,
oh, I'd have been home.
Now I'm sitting on my phone. I'm like, thankfully I'm not in the finals anymore. But I'm like, okay. 6, 7, 8. I'm like, Jesus. Now I miss the next game, too. I'm like, wow, I missed the Knicks game. Wow, Kyrie went off. Oh, this is cool. Oh, look, Russell Westbrook shoved it in Kevin Durant's face. That's hilarious. Wish I could have watched that. Nope, watched it on Twitter. 9. Finally leave at 9:15.
Why'd you stay so long?
I don't have a choice.
Why didn't you have a choice? You was with your old lady?
Which the old lady.
And her family. Yeah.
That's
she didn't look out for you?
Sickness.
She didn't be like, yo, put a TV on for Greg?
No. She said, this is the one day you're going to have to deal with this
shit. You
want
to check in your phone at all?
So then I yelled at for that, right? Yeah, I'm sitting on my phone, and I'm checking the fantasy matches in my league because I'm following along here. And I'm looking at the score. I'm like, oh, my God, Antonio Brown has 1 catch for 8 yards at halftime. I go, oh, my God, this is crazy. Like, this is going to cost millions of people championships here. And then I check in the third quarter. All right, well, Antonio Brown still hasn't done anything. All right, this is a good game. Next thing I know, I check my phone, and the game is over. The Steelers win. Not only do I know Antonio Brown scores, but I see he busts through 17 people to do it. And I go watch the play on Twitter. I'm like, I cannot believe this. And of course, I'm pissed that I missed this entire thing. Then I see the score. The man of the house where I was. Oh, did the Cavaliers win? Well, it would have been nice to watch that game.
Yeah. Did the Cavaliers win?
But no, yeah, they won 109-108. Kyrie Irving is a miraculous shot to win it again. Yep. Yeah, great. Thanks. I get home. You know what I get home for? I get home for half of the third quarter and the entire fourth quarter of a freaking awful football game last night.
Yeah.
Sick.
Did you even catch a Travis Kelce touchdown last night?
No!
No.
No.
I didn't catch it.
I didn't catch that. I didn't catch Tyreek Hill. I caught that Terry Poe throwing it in Tim Tebow style for no freaking reason. Andy Reid just blowing trick plays. It wasn't funny because the Broncos are going to absolutely murder this guy the next time they see him next year.
Necessarily. They got to be able
to
beat
him. Would.
You don't think so?
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird because people didn't get upset like I thought they would have. Like, there was no altercation after the play. The coaches, like, they seemed to get along. I thought it was there's two reasons there. When it's a lineman, I think people feel good that the lineman, you know, gets to do something. Like, the guy's been around for a bit there, so they get excited there for the lineman. But yeah, that was pretty bush league. If I was coaching, I wouldn't have done that. But I think they're gonna get away with it because it was a lineman.
Yeah, I think ever since Refrigerator Perry, nobody gets totally shocked by these things.
It wasn't that they were shocked; it was the timing. Right, the game's over. The game's legitimately over, and they're having their
.380 Yeah, that's it. I think they gave the guy, like, people like feel bad for the lineman, and anytime they get a chance for their claim to fame, I think they got away with it. I think that's why they. I think that if Spencer Ware ran up to the line and tossed it over the line, I think people would have got pissed off.
You're probably right. I kind of hope the guy dropped it, right? The tight end dropped the second touchdown. I think that would have been funny because you have this. They bring in the lineman for no reason to throw it. So I kind of want him to drop it.
It'd been nice there to get the ball to Spencer Ware.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Corey.
Nah, don't worry about it all. It didn't go as planned.
Would that have done it for you?
Wouldn't have done it.
Did you lose to Jake?
I beat Jake.
You beat Jake?
I beat Jake.
Give it up!
Yeah.
There you go.
Flex League champion, 2000 Flex Auction champion.
Very nice.
You bring the belt home.
Well, yeah, I get that. Yeah, I don't have it yet.
But you're getting it.
I'm getting the belt.
And you're wearing it around.
You damn right I'm wearing it around.
Nice.
You bad enough, come
so
take
you
it.
You get a belt.
Yeah.
You get a belt. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, and then the online championship. I went into the night with a 26-point lead.
Right, I remember that. You started Kenneth Farrow yesterday.
Yeah, now I'm down 40.
Oh, Jesus.
You know how we talked on Thursday
about... The matchup was over.
You know how we talked on Thursday about, don't worry, don't stress Odell because there's going to be other guys that go off and stuff like that?
Yeah.
It was a lot of guys went off in Week 16. Oh. David Johnson went off.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson went off. Doug Baldwin went off. Jay Ajayi went off.
Adam Thielen
went off. Yeah, George Kurtz is a guy.
Passionate about that.
Yeah, so definitely.
He was.
Whatever happens on Thursday night, trust me, it's still a full Sunday coming in. The team that I went put up a 190, and I'm sitting up here. I still have Golden Tate and Dan Bailey, but I got to make up 38 points. I don't think those two can do it.
So how many championships did you win?
I ended up winning two championships.
The Flex and what else?
The Flex and the Fantasy Football World Championship League.
Nice.
What about you, Scott?
Didn't win any this year. Got to the Super Bowl, lost and won.
Tony, did you win your SiriusXM Fantasy Football Championship?
I need 3 points from Golden Tate. I won the Greenwich Street Tavern League, so I'll...
Nice.
Successful season.
Two for four. Two championships in four
That's
leagues.
That's 500 right there. That's 50%.
What was the other one?
Yeah.
Greenwich Street Tavern and what?
SiriusXM.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Go to Matt Deutsch's office, pick up the trophy.
I'm pretty sure my credentials have been revoked.
How many points do you guys think Ezekiel Elliott's going to get tonight?
I think Ezekiel Elliott will hit at least about 18.
18?
Between 18 and 22.
I got him in DFS tonight, but I think everybody in the world does, so I don't think it's going to matter. But I have... starving Marvin Jones as well.
He's starving.
He is indeed starving, yes.
He's starving for points, yes. That's for sure. Wow.
But I'll tell you right now, that Denver game, I'd never seen... I talked about this on the news show this morning. I have never seen a worse quarterback performance than I did last night. That was the worst.
Yeah.
He only had one interception.
I don't know.
But he was...
His what about Tom Savage so in the bad. First half on Saturday?
Trevor Siemian wasn't even close on any of his passes. Like, that Savage thing was bad, but this, I've never seen anything as bad as this guy. And I don't know how many balls he dropped last night. I mean, he looked like he didn't belong. He looked like he didn't care. It was horrible.
Well, Brock Osweiler has been pretty terrible times this year as well.
Speaking of which, I mean, you look at going into the NFL playoffs, with some devastating injuries, you know what I mean?
Well, we get for that, huh?
With the broken leg for Derek Carr, the broken leg for
Marcus Mariota.
That season's done, though.
And the broken leg for Tyler Lockett, you know what I mean?
Yeah, awful.
Yeah, so tough weekend of injuries to some of the
guys. Carlos Hyde, too.
Carlos Hyde towards MCL.
Even though it's not playoff related.
Yep, towards MCL yesterday. Yeah,
that was the craziest game,
MCL. MCL. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
What would you say, Tony?
Scott, did you... That Seattle game was amazing.
That was.
Did you like that, Scott? You didn't like it, but
I'm sure every football fan liked it. Like Kevin Burkhardt and John Lynch were going, "What an amazing game!" You know,
amazing.
And I'm sitting there tearing my back hair out.
It was.
You know?
Scotty, do you think this is an okay loss from Seattle? Like,
not at all.
Okay,
not at all. It's like what I said about the Giants. On Thursday, you know, you should win this game.
Right.
To me, this was worse. You're on your home turf.
That was what I was hoping
but
was coming.
You're on your home turf, and you need this to lock up basically the number two seed in the conference before you basically go on a bye week against San Francisco.
Right.
And you don't get it done.
Right.
And to me, though, I give Arizona a lot of credit, and some other teams like who really played spoiler, like Carolina the week before and stuff like that. Who, they haven't given up on their seasons. They've gone in there and played spoilers. And then I look at the Jets and, like, whatever Todd Bowles is selling, they're not buying because this team has totally laid down in the last 3 weeks when you got teams like Arizona, still playing, they're like, well, people say we have nothing to play for. We have to play for to spoil Seattle's season.
Consider that Arizona just has better players.
Did you consider that maybe the Seahawks are acting like they don't have anything to play for? Laid down.
I don't know if you watched the game. It sounds like you didn't.
Right now,
they didn't lay down.
Lost.
They lost
to a team that they shouldn't have lost.
Right,
to.
I said that. But if you watch the game, you see that they didn't lay down. It was Russell Wilson did everything they could and Doug Baldwin to keep them in the game. But the offensive line was awful. The lack of Earl Thomas is very glaring, and Steven Hauschka basically. For the second time this year, blew a game against Arizona.
Absolutely.
Now, so, lay down, I don't think that's accurate, though.
Now, right
but
now.
But in the first half of that game, Scott, everyone was a failure on the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. It's just like
and I give them credit.
But when you get down to the 1 yard line and you get six cracks and you come out with 3 points,
That was amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Wilson did everything they could to lead him back in the second half, but since 2013, you've seen more cracks and cracks and cracks and pieces fall off, and now they're just to the point where they're a playoff team, but they're not a top Super Bowl contender.
No, they
Your
can't
guy,
be.
Alex Collins looked good.
He did. Remember, I was talking about him in the preseason.
He got his crack, but the thing is that
ProSize might be back in the playoffs for those of you. Playing in fantasy playoff leagues, which could be interesting.
And let me ask you this. Right now, as it stands, the Seattle Seahawks have played the New York Giants in the first round of the playoffs. How you feel about
Corey
that?
Smile is
How you feel about that?
I think the way it's going to flesh out is they're going to play Detroit or Washington, and I feel better about that. I don't like how we match up with the Giants.
So you think Seattle winds up in the 3 seed, you're saying?
I think they end up in the 3 seed.
So there's a good chance they could also wind up facing Green Bay.
They win next week. I think Green Bay wins the division, and they probably end up facing Detroit.
I don't know about that. I think Detroit's at home next week against Green Bay.
Yeah.
Oh, Detroit wins a home game, they win, and they face the Giants.
I don't think home field advantage is going to matter for Detroit the way Green Bay is playing right now.
Damn.
I think could play them on Mars. I think Green Bay would beat them.
Damn.
I think
so. Seattle,
Detroit
is 3 seed.
Detroit could win tonight, or maybe they don't. Maybe Dallas comes to play. I don't know how much intensity they're going to put out there, but I think Seattle probably end up number 3 seed here and probably end up hosting Detroit or Washington.
Well,
And then after that, they could be done after that.
Yeah, so I'm kind of down for this whole Detroit wins next week thing. That kind of is that's what I'm rooting for.
I just feel like the only advantage have is where they're playing. I feel like Green Bay's just a better team.
I don't don't know. Green Bay has a lot of some points here in Minnesota. They've had some points in Chicago. Like, Detroit can score. It's going to hold them.
Man. They won five in a row. How are you going to nitpick
Green Bay's like one of the hottest teams. Hottest team in the league.
Yes,
right,
that's exactly what they're going to do. So the Giants don't have
they're
to go to
playing
Green
against
Bay.
A team with a shaky defense, no running game, and an injured quarterback. I like Green Bay.
But the Lions... The Lions and the Houston Texans, and congratulations to the Houston Texans, they have actually had a dynasty.
What, they won four of the last six?
Yes, four out of that's the dynasty. Title.
Phil O'Brien, baby!
But here's the
Jeff Van Gundy was going off on it on the NBA telecast yesterday. He has Texan season tickets. He's all fired up.
Good for Jeff.
So if Dallas were able to win by 17 tonight, the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans would be two playoff teams with a negative point differential. They would be the only two teams. The Houston Texans are negative 42, and right now Detroit Lions are plus 16. Can you imagine those two teams? And the Lions have a good record. Can you imagine them having a negative point differential?
Guys, we are legitimately 1 week away from having locking up our favorite playoff matchup every year. Do you realize that?
The Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans.
We are 1 week away from locking it up. And if that doesn't happen, do you realize what we can get instead?
What's that?
We can get the Miami Dolphins and the Houston Texans.
Yes, on Saturday, January 7th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
The Dolphins will win.
Yeah, they will.
I'll tell you what. I've ended the coach of the year. We don't need to have it because a lot of people are going to say Sean Payton. It's Adam Gase. The team started out 1-4.
Yeah,
they have 10 wins.
They look terrible in the first 5 weeks.
Unbelievable.
And then he was willing to change things around for the better, and it worked. But I'd like to see Miami and Pittsburgh in the first round.
I would like to see that too. Yeah. Miami, Pittsburgh. Yeah. That Greg doesn't like that.
Yeah, sure. Pittsburgh will kill him.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, you know what? Last time they faced, it was in Miami, right? Miami came out, beat Pittsburgh up pretty badly, and I think they remember that one. I
read some stories though how the Pittsburgh Steelers were out in South Beach the night before.
I believe that. I totally believe that.
Why wouldn't they?
They played like it.
You're right. You're 100% right. I just feel, Scott, you've been, you know, since the middle of the year, you've been underrating this Pittsburgh Steelers team a little bit. And I've been saying Pittsburgh's that one team you don't want to face in the playoffs.
Scott,
you were saying defense wins championships. I'm like, look at this Pittsburgh offense. I like Pittsburgh a lot.
I can see the way things are seated, that and the way the conference is now that the Raiders have lost Derek Carr.
Yep.
I could see them losing at New England in the AFC Championship.
Pittsburgh losing. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I was thinking about it in my head and looking in the seedings, and you'll have New England number one, you'll have Oakland number two,
maybe
Pittsburgh number three.
Maybe.
Oakland can drop next week.
KC can be the number two seed.
Who's Oakland playing next week?
Oakland plays Denver next week.
Denver.
With Matt McGloin at quarterback.
That's right.
And who's Kansas City play?
San Diego.
That overall.
All right, so let's say New England number one, Kansas City number two.
Yep.
Right? Then you got
Pittsburgh
would be number three. Houston would be number four.
Yes.
Then Oakland would be number five.
Yep.
Miami would be number six.
Yes, sir.
So Miami would go to Pittsburgh.
Yep. And Oakland would go to
Kansas
Houston.
Kansas City would go to Oakland.
No,
Kansas,
Oakland would go to Houston.
Oakland would go to Houston. I don't know who would win that game.
Yeah,
even with Matt McGloin, Oakland can come out of there with a W.
Yeah, I think Oakland would win that though, and then Kansas City, Miami. That's kind of tough to call, but
it's Miami and Pittsburgh.
Miami and Pittsburgh. That's tough to call, but I think it would be Pittsburgh.
The matchup that I'm looking forward to in the AFC playoffs theoretically is Pittsburgh is your offense versus defense, right? It's Pittsburgh and Kansas City. You've told me all year defense with championship. KC's a much better defense than Pittsburgh. That's the one I'm more interested in.
You know, but I've been rethinking it this morning.
That's Pittsburgh on
I've been
the road,
rethinking
too.
It this morning.
Yeah.
Which teams have really good defenses that have the offense, too, that can carry them to a championship? I don't know if Kansas City has it. The Giants might.
Giants don't have the offense. That's the problem.
The Giants don't have
the Giants have the defense.
Giants have the biggest offensive weapon in the playoffs, maybe.
Sure, absolutely. But the Giants also don't have the defense. We'll break down the playoff matchups all throughout the morning here, what we're looking for. We're also going to go check out all the games from Saturday and Sunday. Take a look at what's to come in the playoffs and what's to come next year. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, and of course, Tony Zicata as well. Going up until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Guys, we spoke about it briefly just a second ago. But the biggest story to me here of the weekend, and the first thing I want to revisit from Sunday, is Derek Carr, who had a really nice game against Indianapolis, throws his three touchdowns. He then breaks his leg. He was hit one time, sacked one time on Sunday, or on Saturday rather, and winds up breaking his leg, and that's going to keep him out. If they make the Super Bowl, can he come back? Like, I know Matt McGloin, the whole thing, but like, is that possible, Tony?
It's possible. I would probably do it in that case with the Raiders.
Too.
Matt McGloin will have to win a couple, at least two, maybe three games to get there. But I still think you make the move and you go back to the quarterback there. It was interesting because that happened when I was growing up with Tony Eason was the quarterback, and he got injured, and they brought him back for the Super Bowl. And it was a disaster, and they got killed by the Bears. But I don't know if that's the example.
Do you think it's possible? Six weeks.
Is that a long enough time?
Yeah, I read today. I actually read this morning from the doctor. They said if he made it, he would have an ability to play there.
I think he would.
Terrell Owens. That was a high ankle sprain, though, right? Or was that a fracture?
Terrell Owens broke his ankle.
Okay.
They might have called it a high ankle. I mean, he broke it. And I know that was it this late in the season he broke his ankle?
It was late in the season.
I thought it was a couple. I thought it was like week 14. I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong about that. Derek Carr, brutal loss for Oakland. Where Carr's getting MVP votes. Even I don't think he was the MVP, but getting MVP votes here.
Yeah.
And devastating loss for an Oakland team that has been, had a miraculous season. Up to the two seed. A lot of people in the preseason thought Oakland would come out, surprise everybody, and they have. They really, really have. Blackjack, Del Rio, the whole thing. And to lose Derek Carr this way, it sucks. It really, really sucks.
Yeah, the Raiders making the playoffs, I believe, for like the first time in about, 15 years? And just a terrific season. And if anybody could have been a legitimate threat to maybe New England, maybe the Raiders were it.
Maybe.
I don't think so. Then,
I don't really think so either, personally.
Maybe they had the best shot of knocking them off, I think.
I don't think so.
I think Kansas City does.
You can make the case. You can make the case.
I don't think it opens the defense, too.
But it was so funny with
the defense
has
played a lot better in the last few weeks. And if they play any sort of defense, that offense is very, very balanced. But regardless, it's a great story for the, for the Raiders, Oakland, etc. And to see them lose their quarterback when they have a chance to be like the number two seed, it's just like
sucks.
It's devastating. And also you got lucky if you had Derek Carr as your quarterback in your fantasy Super Bowl because he put up good numbers before the injury,
unlike you had Marcus Mariota who did not put up enough yesterday. What were you saying, Tone?
Rodney Harrison last night on the NBC telecast, they were going over the playoffs in the AFC,
right?
And they asked him if New England would be afraid to play Kansas City, and he laughed, chuckled,
right,
and then said, "No, they disposed him last year." He said, "Only Pittsburgh stands in the way."
100% agree with that. I 100% agree with that, because last year, remember, Casey came off that massive win in Houston, 31-0. It was just decimation. The defense was incredible, and everyone's saying
last night. I'm still the whole problem with that game plan. Again, it looks nice on paper. The real truth is Tyreek Hill didn't have one pass thrown to him. Jerry Maclin only had three catches, and at the end, in the middle of the second quarter, they only had five pass receptions that were completed. All five were to Travis Kelce.
Yeah, in their third quarter, I believe they're leading wide receiver at like 8 yards. I believe it was up to that. So I totally agree. We saw this last year. Kansas City's defense was awesome. They dominated Houston. Then they go to New England. They got crushed.
They lost at home to Tampa Bay.
First of all, they'll more than likely with this injury to Carr. They're more than likely to be the number two seed. So they'll meet up in the AFC Championship game.
I think it's going to be Pittsburgh, Kansas City going to New England for the AFC Championship.
Well, so you're saying the two or three, so you're not really going out on a limb. And I agree with it. I think it'll be Pittsburgh, personally. I think it'll be Pittsburgh.
Never said I was going out on a limb.
Although, Pittsburgh and Kansas City is interesting. Because away from Heinz Field, they are a different team.
Exactly.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, that's a game Kansas City can win.
Easily.
Yeah.
So. They'll be the favorite.
You think Kansas City will be favorite in that game?
Mm-hmm.
I think they would.
The only way they could really meet, though, favorite. Is the AFC title game, though, right?
No, they play the second round.
They would play the second round.
Pittsburgh
they would play
Kansas before, City? Yeah.
The 2-3 game.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for Scott to think here.
See, we've dropped Oakland. See what you're saying?
Right.
We've dropped Oakland because of the injury.
But maybe it isn't fair. I just don't have that much eyes to beat Denver's defense.
I see Miami coming out of the Miami and Oakland coming out of the first round. Miami would go I'm seeing Pittsburgh and Oakland coming out of the first round.
Yeah, Oakland would go to New England.
Right. And Pittsburgh would go to Kansas City.
No matter what, Pittsburgh would go to Kansas City.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I don't know if they could beat him in Kansas City.
So that will, of course, become the question mark. Good offense versus good defense, right? The same story we've talked about.
Defense wins championships.
I don't think that defense in Kansas City is as good as you guys think
it is. I know, Tony, you actually called that out all year.
Yeah.
And the secondary is not nearly as good as people think it is.
Yeah, they have a backup cornerback now starting in that secondary, which he might be better than the guy that was starting, because the guy that was starting was terrible. Marcus Peters is a guy you can, go both ways. He's in the Pro Bowl. He got interceptions. But they still allow the second most points to wide receivers. That could be a tough matchup even against these Pittsburgh Steelers. You saw Eli Rogers play good yesterday. We all know who Antonio Brown is. So I don't know. It wouldn't shock me that Kansas City team was out quick.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised either.
I just feel like Pittsburgh doesn't play well on the road, like you said, Greg.
Sure.
So that could be an issue there. And when you talk about defense winning championships, New England on paper, they don't look like a great defense, but still, Matt Patricia, is a great defensive coordinator that coached up very well on defense, which still makes him stand tall in the AFC.
Yeah, I don't really think it's close. Back to this Oakland and Indy game. Where the heck did this DeAndre Washington performance come from?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Latavius Murray carries, really
99 yards, 2 touchdowns for DeAndre Washington.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray, 15 carries for 40 yards.
Yeah, Latavius Murray was just like the story on Twitter. It's just like all of a sudden they were playing committee the week before, and then when you really needed Murray in your fantasy Super Bowl or even in DFS, where I rolled him out in a lot of lineups.
Me too.
He destroyed you.
Yeah, that was one of the big disappointments of the weekend. I had Latavius Murray locked and loaded and ready to go. It looked like he had gained the upper hand in his backfield. It looked like Washington and the other guy, Rashard, wasn't even options. And now DeAndre Washington comes out
with
a big
nowhere
24-point performance in the PPR.
Well,
now, really, listen, it didn't really do anybody. He was not in no one's starting lineups. But if you are a Latavius Murray owner, you're going to be pretty sad because he was a humongous disappointment.
So my question for you, Tony, is the obvious one. Because Corey's right. No one had DeAndre Washington in their lineup, so it doesn't really matter besides the Latavius Murray owners. What about next year? Is next year all we're going to talk about is DeAndre Washington or Latavius Murray again? I mean, we did it in August this summer. DeAndre Washington was this hot rookie that's going to surpass Latavius Murray. He's better. And then really every week leading up to here, week 16, we said Latavius Murray is going to be safe. He's young. He's good. He scores touchdowns. And then this happens.
This is going to be very similar to the Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill backfield next year. I think Latavius Murray is going to be a guy that's going to get a lot of touchdowns.
Right.
And I think he's not going to get a ton of yards. Like, he's not going to amass a lot of yards. And you're going to have Washington involved in the passing game. He's going to run some sweeps. So it's going to hurt both their value. I think Murray should get drafted because of the touchdowns. But I think it's going to be relatively close. They'll go within a round.
So interesting.
It was good coaching by the Raiders and bad game flow for fantasy because Murray was in there early and he just wasn't getting any yardage against a bad defense. The problem with Murray, and I've said it before, is he doesn't make people miss. And DeAndre Washington was making people miss. And it made a big difference in that Oakland offense.
Michael Crabtree better than Amari Cooper.
Again.
Crabtree 7-for-90. Cooper 4-for-72. Can somebody at this table explain to me why we're going to draft Amari Cooper over Michael Crabtree next year?
Because of the youth, the upside, the talent. He's going into his third.
You keep saying this.
He's going into his third year, but this is what it's going to be. He's going into his third year. It looks like he's hitting a wall. He could be injured. I don't know what it is.
I think he hit the wall several weeks ago. He should be outperforming
Michael Crabtree week after week. But he's not getting it. I mean, but at one point during the season, he was one of the top wide receivers in the league.
Right.
He was at that was like about week six.
Yeah.
Fell off a cliff. It was deep in the season.
I don't know if it was.
No.
It's going to be interesting now, though, because a lot of that, there's two things in Crabtree's favor.
Okay.
One, he'll get the weaker cornerback if they play a team with an elite cornerback. He'll always get that.
Right.
And secondly, he had the quarterback preference. Him and Carr had a thing. Now, we've seen time and time again changes at quarterback change the wide receiver situation. So we don't know what's going to happen with Matt McGloin going forward.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point. I'm more looking to next year, Tony. I think these wide receivers are going to go. I mean, Cooper's going to go ahead of them. I don't know if that's right.
Cooper's going to be in the second
yeah.
round?
Yeah. Cooper has not had more than 60 yards receiving since week 9.
He hasn't had more than 75 yards in his last 7 games, and he's only had 2 touchdowns in that span.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Kind of what I just said, but it's cool.
After that big blow-up game against Tampa Bay,
16
it's like...
16 is 9.
That's cool.
How about the other side of the football? Can I get some love for my guy that I'm putting in the first round next year?
He put in the first round next year. T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton. Check into the T.Y. Hilton. 9 targets in this game, only caught...
You think T.Y. checked into the Paris Hilton?
I don't think they, Nah, T.Y. is a solid dude. Yeah, right. Community guy.
Just asking.
You know, I did some research.
Seems like a fair question.
No, because if I'm going all in T.Y. in 2017, I want to make sure he's a stand up guy.
Right.
And it definitely looks like that. But we've seen it, just about all season long. Even through injuries, he shows up. He performs. He's Andrew Luck's favorite target. He's going into a situation with an offense he's familiar in, a quarterback he's familiar with. He just keeps getting better and. He is definitely going to be a player I'm very, very, very invested in 2017. And then
you changed your tune on him. You didn't like him nearly as much last preseason.
I said that he was a fantasy one, not an NFL one. He's an NFL one now. I am definitely in on T.Y. Hilton. Moncrief, who many people had tabbed as this year's breakout fantasy player, I think the injuries kind of slowed him down, but we did see that
touchdowns are there.
Yeah, touchdowns today, and Andrew Luck will look for him, and this is enough volume in this passing game to go around. So I do like Moncrief coming back, not as a breakout guy in that 4th, 5th round range, not like that again, but he'll be hyped up again also. And then this team right here, your man Frank Gore, he just keep going.
Just keeps on going.
Is he back next year? Well, I guess we don't really know that.
I don't see why he wouldn't be, though.
Well, because he's 40.
Yeah, I know.
He's only had 200-yard games in his last 31, I think, so you got to remember that.
Yeah, but you got to go combine the yardage with him because he catches the ball out of the backfield.
Oh, yeah, for fantasy purposes, but I'm saying, in terms of him being back, when you look at that, that might be something the Colts look at.
No, but that's what I'm saying, though. He was taken out of that running back-only role by Turbin over the last 3 or 4 games, so... I think you look at that as he's doing what they want him to do, catch balls out of the backfield, do some pass blocking, and Robert Turbin was the hot back.
What is he going to finish as average wise? I think he probably is going to be he might be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Well, he's an RB2.
There you go.
Average wise, he averages 13 points a game, RB2. Yeah.
Scotty, Andrew Luck did not have a good
reload. Actually, I think he's 11th overall in total scoring right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck did not have a good game on Sunday.
No.
This one's on him, right? Like, the Colts needed this one. Everything in the AFC went the Colts' way on Sunday.
Yeah.
But that.
Yeah, it did. Luck is... He's still going to be one of the top 5 fantasy quarterbacks off the board next year. It's... let's see what they do with the offensive line during the offseason.
Yeah.
But I don't trust Ryan Grigson to do anything, honestly.
That's what I mean. I'm not blaming Luck for anything to do with it.
Right.
That offensive line's a joke. Seattle's is a joke. The 2 general managers should be held accountable.
Yeah, I absolutely think it's true. That what Ryan Grigson has done now in Andrew Luck's prime is unacceptable and despicable. Right? Like, you know what you needed on this team forever, and you haven't addressed it. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. He should be fired. Pagano should be fired. Not that I want people to lose their jobs, but they should be fired.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk more from yesterday and Saturday around the NFL. Playoffs are coming. Stick around. It's Road Rush from the morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Not to make our producer Mike Florio all upset here. The Buffalo Bills had their chances in this one against Miami. And instead of fighting for a playoff spot here in Week 17, they're going home, and Rex is probably going home for good. A 34-31 victory here by the Miami Dolphins.
For him to get fired with an 8-8 record, if they win next week and finish the season 8-8, I think that's a joke.
So I don't think it's a joke. I used to think it was.
Why?
Because when Rex took over this team, They're the number two rated defense in the NFL. Number two.
Okay.
Their defense sucks. Their offense put up more yards than in the history of the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, on Saturday, and they lost. The defense, he and his brother came in. Where were you working the defense? We're going to blitz all night. You know, I stole it from Herbert Titans. And they were going to turn this defense into this crushing crew. And they suck. That's on Rex. The offense, we know Rex doesn't even listen to the channel on offense when he has the headset on. He's not a good head coach. Scott says it all the time about being a defensive coordinator.
Frog in your throat?
I don't know what's going on. My throat's been bothering me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We've been saying this all the time. Scott says it all the time. Good defensive coordinators, they're not good head coaches. And I disagree when it came to Rex Ryan. Like, I was impressed that he went to two AFC championship games with Mark Sanchez. Like, I've always held that with him. After watching this, Rex Ryan's inability to win a football game when his offense was up over 530 yards. Dude deserves to go. He does.
Make a good case for it.
Thank you, Scott.
I think it's hard to argue with.
Okay, who are you replacing with?
So well, I think
when you talk about firing the coach, you know you got to put somebody in there.
So honestly, you're not going to like my answer to that question. I'm trying to be realistic, right? And you can go to one of these offensive coordinators, which I don't think they need because their offense is doing well. Maybe you can. You go to Kyle Shanahan, Josh McDaniels, that whole thing. I don't think that happens.
And you bring one of them in with Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
Okay.
You could do that.
No.
But I don't think you
if
do that.
McDaniel, wherever McDaniel goes, it appears that he's bringing Jimmy Garoppolo with him.
So I read that also, Tony. The spot that I have for McDaniels does not involve Garoppolo. I'll get to that later in the show.
Okay.
Because I have the spot for McDaniels, but it doesn't involve Garoppolo. You can bring in a guy like Tom Coughlin, who you've heard. But I agree with you, Tony. He winds up as some president of football operations, potentially Jacksonville.
He's going to interview this week in Jacksonville.
I agree that's where he ends up. I think
it might be a nice fit, yeah.
I think Buffalo is going to go back to where you think, Florio. I think they're going to go back to Jim Schwartz.
They're going to retread Jim Schwartz. People despise Jim Schwartz.
Not in Buffalo. He was a defensive coordinator.
Not in the NFL either. The NFL loves him. He didn't have a job, and they created a job in the NFL front office for him. Then he went back on the field. Like, he's thought very well of in the National Football League.
He was a defensive coordinator in Buffalo before Rex got there. He dominated. They got rid of him when no one wanted to get rid of him. I think Jim Schwartz was up in Buffalo. Florio, what do you think of this?
I would gladly take him back. See? I didn't want him to leave. See? They had the top defense, second-rated defense in the league. I do also think, though, their new offensive coordinator, Anthony Lynn, is a candidate. They're going to want someone to keep him.
Well, the problem is that he's a Rex guy, right? Like, he's always been by Rex's side. I know people are interested in Anthony Lynn, what he has done. But you know what? I got to give him the crap also. They threw for, what, a million yards on Saturday, Florio? And what happens in overtime? They stopped opening the game up. Third in season, they give a reverse to Reggie Bush.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
And you want to make that guy your head coach?
I don't say I did. I just said that's what I've been reading a lot, that he's they really like him there.
Another reason, Corey, you're firing.
You think they can make him the coach?
That's what Florio just said. No, I don't think you could do that.
And what do you do with Taylor? I don't have a problem with Taylor.
I think you have to keep Tyrod Tayler.
Huh?
You have to keep Tyrod Taylor. Because it's not easy
what
to
find. What else is out there? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Tyrod Taylor showed me on Saturday he can do enough to win a game.
You guys feel comfortable?
He just
about
has to have more consistency, Tyrod.
You know what?
He's got the potential.
So, and a lot of this, I get the game.
You're never going to win with him.
You never win a Super Bowl.
He'll put up decent. He'll put up decent numbers. Like at the end, he'll be a 15, be a 13, quarterback.
Right.
But
right.
He's just never consistently like today's NFL. You got to have the ability to put up a 300 yard.
Let's forget about the Super Bowl with the Bills. They have the longest playoff drought in NFL history.
Well, shouldn't that be the goal of every team?
Not for the Bills. They haven't made the playoffs since 98.
So should they not try?
What?
So they should not try?
I'm not saying they shouldn't try, but like, you know, you're talking about, you know, winning a Super Bowl with this team. Let's get to the next level and, you know, be a legitimate, consistent playoff contender. And I think they can do that with Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor, by the way, Tony, did throw for 300 yards on Saturday, right? Season on the line. He threw for 300 yards. They opened up the offense a little bit. They had McCoy running well. They had Gillisley running well.
They played really well.
What happens if they actually get some other playmakers there on offense?
I don't think they need him. You have McCoy.
They got two.
You have Watkins.
They got two elite ones if they're healthy.
Exactly. So yeah. They need
another playmaker.
You need a
the
head coach. He's an idiot. That fourth and three with your season on the line, a tie does not help you, and he punts it away. That punt does not help you.
That's the biggest problem, but I think they still need one more playmaker in the passing game, especially if Watkins can't stay healthy.
Robert Woods is
the second round draft pick.
Robert Woods should be a third receiver for them.
Agreed. I agree with that. Charles Clay's looked good the last couple weeks.
Charles Clay is always going to be a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys feel comfortable in 2017 fantasy going back to McCoy?
Yeah.
Yes.
I love McCoy.
I love Shady.
I understand why you're asking.
Just a little trepidation.
I was thinking the same thing.
He
gets hurt.
I said in the second round, man, I could nail this guy. I was thinking about this watching the game, right?
Yeah.
Second round, I could nail the guy. And then I'm saying, man, that's a lot of miles on this guy.
First thing I think about. 29 years old next year.
He already gets hurt.
He lives hard in the offseason. So you got to take that into consideration also. But he was excellent this year. He was
unbelievable this year.
Excellent.
Unbelievable.
This year.
The first two things I think about 2017 are A, especially in the first three slots. Like, I want to be in one of those top five slots next year, right? Mm-hmm. To get one of the three top running backs, Brown or Beckham. And if you're in the top three, is the zero RB theory going to go away for you? Because the first three picks off the board could very well be running backs in some drafts.
I still think Antonio Brown gets in that mix.
I want David Johnson first.
We have plenty of time to talk about.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
But with Shady, I still think people get off him because they're going to fear injury. So
yeah.
I agree. It's like the Marshawn Lynch effect, right? Like some point these guys going to wear down. Yeah,
He's
the man in the offense. That's not going
to
change.
The thing is with McCoy, we've seen even when he was in Philly, he tends to get hurt.
Gillislee's look good.
I saw a stat on ESPN. LeSean McCoy in the championship week, I think in the championship matchups, he was in close to 40% of them. He was a difference maker in fantasy football in 2016.
He was, even with Gillislee stealing some goal line carries.
Sammy Watkins was a difference maker Saturday.
Yeah.
Seven catches.
Not this season.
154
yards.
Well,
he was a difference maker this season.
here you go, Tony, right? Sammy Watkins does this championship week. Everyone's going to remember it.
I'll tell you what, I remember I'm not going to draft him. He's going to go in the second round, right? And he definitely has the ability. But that's 2 years of that foot injury. Now, Julio Jones is a guy that had 2 years of it, too, and he still gets drafted.
Sure.
And he's put it together.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I it might be a stupid bias on my part. But as of now, I'm not picking him, and he's still going to go in the second round.
We're going to be in the second round next year, like the 10th pick of the Greenwich Street Tavern League. Corey's going to be at 10, and Tony's going to be at 11, and Corey's going to say, Sammy Watkins, Buffalo Bills, and Tony's going to go, thank you.
I know if Tony's behind me, I know I can let those two picks go by and get Sammy Watkins in the third, because Tony just said he's not going to take him.
Come on. Scott's strategy.
Do you feel comfortable taking him? Like I said, I mean, Jones had similar incidents. Guy's healthy for a while. I mean, the talent's immense. I mean, you've seen it on display. I mean, he actually came out of practice early a couple times last week and still put up that game.
We want to see what the situation with the quarterback is. We want to see how the coaching staff evolves. And, of course, we want to try to believe as much as we can in what comes out of Buffalo on his health in the offseason. I'm not going to pull him up the board like I was doing this year, but I'll definitely take him in that wide receiver two range.
I think he's a wide receiver two range. It's fine, right? As long as you don't draft him as wide receiver.
I'm just buying back into the upside and the talent and the ability.
I think a lot of it depends on who the coach is, who the offensive coordinator is, all that good stuff, and also how healthy he is this offseason. Charles Clay.
How healthy they tell us, because they lied to us this year.
Saturday, 8 for 85, 2 touchdowns for Charles Clay. I know. On the other side of things, Jay Ajayi goes for over 200 again. He was a monster. A monster.
And that's something to watch,
too.
Though.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about that, but
shoulder
he laid
injury?
Him down on the ground.
Shoulder
yeah,
injury.
Yeah, with that. It looked like a separated shoulder the way he was holding everything.
Several times, Tony. Several times.
Yeah. I'm worried about that affecting them in the playoffs.
I agree with that. Who's going to go first, Scott, next year? Same question we had this summer. Devontae Parker or Jarvis Landry?
I think in a PPR, I think Landry would still go first. He's still got that rep, you know?
Corey?
Of being able to haul in so many passes. Parker's gotten hurt. He's been inconsistent.
He's
young.
He's just as young as Landry.
He's upside, but Landry's more pure proven. I think Landry will go first.
Landry's season, his fantasy season, 85 catches, 1,060 yards, 3 touchdowns for Devontae Parker, 51, 699, and
major
4.
Major regression for Jarvis Landry.
Major.
Yeah. Disappointment.
Well, actually, in the touchdown department, is regression of only one.
Well, the regression wasn't necessarily tied to Jarvis Landry's performance, though. They had a running game this year, which they never had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had a second wide receiver, which they hadn't had in the past. And the quarterback play was inferior this year, believe it or not, and they still won 10 games. To me, it's definitely Jarvis Landry. When I watch Devontae Parker, he's a stud, right? He's athletic talent. But a lot of those plays that he scores on are broken plays where he doesn't run a pass route. And then he just makes something happen.
Yeah, they won against the Jets,
Yeah.
By the way, said a mouthful there, Tony, when you say they haven't had a good rusher. Outside of Ricky Williams before Jay Ajayi, their last good running back was Larry Zonka, I think. They've had a bad history with running backs.
They have. They certainly have. Let's take a break here, guys. You come back. I do have a question still in this Dolphins-Bills game about Tyrod Taylor, about Matt Moore. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're talking about this Bills-Dolphins game here, guys. And we talk about Tyrod Taylor being a quarterback. And he's not in Buffalo. He should be a starting quarterback somewhere else, I think. He has an unbelievable ability, obviously. Run the ball with his legs. Threw for over 300 yards yesterday. They opened up the offense a little bit. So, I like Tyrod Taylor. I'm in on Tyrod Taylor after yesterday. My question for you, Scott Engel. Should Matt Moore be a starting quarterback somewhere in 2016?
Depends on what's available. I mean, he can. My problem with Matt Moore is that watching him throughout his career, and I've seen it again this season too, he's able to make the spectacular play and throw the confounding interception. I remember there was a game against Buffalo in 2011 where he was starting for Miami, and he threw this beautiful like bomb to Brian Hartline, and then he got intercepted on a mid-range pass the next day. I don't think teams can win with a guy like Matt Moore. Ideally, you want to have him as a backup. I think he can, in the playoffs, he can make a big interception that'll cost Miami its playoff lives.
But I think Miami feels pretty good. Like they were able to replace Tannehill with a guy that can win some games.
I think they feel good because when you want to go to the backup, you want to have him
have the same offense.
You know, you want to have him at least, you know, be somewhat respectable. And I think Matt Moore is that, but he's too erratic for a team to win with. I think you could be looking at another Ryan Fitzpatrick type of situation here.
Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick is obviously streaky, right?
Like Matt Moore can be streaky.
Right. Okay, fair enough. No issue with that. Where do we take Corey? Jay Ajayi, 200 yards twice against Buffalo this year. He really came out. You asked about breakout stars. I think Jay Ajayi is a good answer as a breakout star this year. Adam Gase, who I agree with Tony, should be the coach of the year. They have built this offense around him. Where should Jay Ajayi be drafted next year?
Jay Ajayi, obviously, you want to see. Well, I think that they'll keep that core together in Miami. Jay Ajayi is a on the turn, two going into three.
Unbelievable.
What's unbelievable?
I'm sorry to interrupt the flow. Remember last week on Out of Bounds, we aired our grievances with one each other?
Yeah.
And I said to Mike Cardano, you are completely dumb and should be nowhere near me, you know, in terms of intelligence. I just said the Dolphins hadn't had a good running back since other than Ricky Williams, since Larry Zonka. I mentioned Ricky Williams, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Cardano tweets at me, doofus, the Dolphins had Ricky Williams. I just said that. Oh, my God. This guy is so dumb.
I like him two going into three. That RB two range. That early that borderline one, late. You know, maybe like a 10-11. So I think he's in that RB one range. I would draft him.
Me too.
That two going into three. That turn right there. I think is where you start to see Jay Ajayi.
Tony, what about you? Where do you feel comfortable drafting Jay Ajayi?
Uh, I I think they hit it on the head at the end of the second round. I think though it's going to be interesting to see how many people like lost with the zero RB theory. If some of these backs go early, where does he go? And when we put rankings together, I think he's a guy that gets talked up during the year and actually ends up being drafted ahead of that end of the second round.
I think so too. For much of the same way, not he's the same back, much the same way people like Shady, right? Like this offense is going to be built around him. And you're going to see Jay Ajayi expected for this monster workload, and people are going to be all in on getting a guy like Ajayi who has the ability to put up 200 yards rushing really any time out.
And score touchdowns, consistently right. Finish drives, et cetera, you know, because Jarvis Landry doesn't score touchdowns. I don't know what they'll do in the offseason, but in terms of touchdowns, you have he's the main guy there, the main guy. You know, you can't count on Parker or Stills for any consistency. Of course, things will change during the offseason.
Real quick, to be honest, you'd have to think in the second year, Adam Gay's offense will be better, right, than they are this year in Miami.
Yeah, you would think so. You would absolutely think so, Tony. We'll see how that winds up, obviously, throughout the winter. But right now, Adam Gase has the Miami Dolphins headed to the playoffs for the first time since 2008. We take a break here. We'll come back. Tony was right 4 weeks ago when he gave you the NFL MVP. We'll discuss the Green Bay Packers and their streak next here on the Roto Experts.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Angle, the King, Corey Parks, and the Fantasy Executive, Tony Cicada, alongside me. And Tony, you were right. You said this 3 weeks ago, I believe. You said, you're not going to believe this, and no one's going to agree with me, but the MVP of this year is Aaron Rodgers, and here's why. And he gave a litany of reasons. And it made sense. I kind of agreed. But I didn't agree wholeheartedly as I do now. There's no question, in my opinion, that Aaron Rodgers is now the league MVP. He has put this team on his back. When they suffer through injuries, both offensively and defensively, he has played through a bad hamstring, a bad calf, and he has his team 1 win away from the playoffs. It's a nice job by you. Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson is, man, the one guy that's come back from this injury, and he has been superhuman. He is exactly what he was, statistics-wise. I don't care how he looks. Statistics-wise, the exact guy you had before this ACL injury. Hell of a year by Jordy Nelson, Scotty.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the MVP thing because on the old school fantasy hour, Jake Seeley and I had a very passionate debate last week about he thinks David Johnson should be in the MVP, and I'm just very against the MVP coming
from a losing team.
I'm not with that, and he says nowhere does it say the MVP has to come from a losing team. They wouldn't even won 6 games with him, and I'm saying, well, where would they be? You know, without David Johnson, the same place they are now.
There's an award for David Johnson.
Out of the playoffs.
It's called the Offensive Player of the Year, not
right.
The MVP.
There you go. I didn't even think of that one. Thank you, Corey. It's like Offensive Player of the Year. Like, he's a compiler. You make the argument and say he's a compiler. To me personally, my MVP is, and I respect the Aaron Rodgers thing, is I can't give it to Travis Frederick. So I would say there's been co-MVPs in sports. When you look at Dallas last year, they didn't have DeMarco Murray, and they didn't have a quality quarterback. To me, Prescott and Elliott are co-MVPs. But I wouldn't give it to a guy on a losing team.
They're going to take votes away from each other. I know you've said that. You say that in baseball all the time. You didn't believe that Mike Trout should have been the MVP this year.
Right. Bryce Harper, he didn't
like. Bryce Harper the year before.
Mm-hmm. Bryce Harper, he hated it, actually. Remember that. You were very strong. Passionately against that one.
You know, at one point in the season, we were talking about Jordy Nelson being a disappointment.
So we that were. For a 2 week period.
What about Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers
for a 2 week period.
Jordy finishes as wide receiver 2, Rodgers finishes as QB1.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing is with Jordy Nelson, we all pointed to the one game where they put up like 50 points and he had like one catch.
Yeah.
And we all said he doesn't look the same. He's getting phased out. And here
he is. Those two games against the Giants and Dallas.
Two good defenses.
Yeah.
You know? Two good defenses. So we were all, you know what? Jordy Nelson's demise was greatly exaggerated.
Yes, I agree.
I would say two good teams, two good defenses. I don't know about that.
I don't know why you hate the Cowboys defense.
I don't hate the Cowboys. I'm just saying, you know, they play it right. You know, they dominate time of possession so much they can protect their defense. I don't think they have a good defense.
Defense has been good all year, Scott. I know last year wasn't good. This year it's been good all year.
I think if they were on the field more, which they don't have.
That's why they're not on the field more, Scott.
I'm saying they're coaching it up very nicely. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
They're coaching up very nicely. I think that team was on the field more defensively, they would get exposed.
Nevertheless, let's go back to the Green Bay here, Tone.
Yeah, the lesson to be learned from these Rodgers situation is that you got to trust all the research you do. So if you went and you drafted this guy early, you go and you draft one of the wide receivers, just let it play out through the season. And sometimes it's hard because we're so reactionary when it comes to fantasy. And we've seen track records from both of those players that showed some history of success. But you see him come back in the injury, so we all get scared. And if you cut bait early, damn, you got to be sitting here this morning and just shaking your head.
Yeah, I absolutely. I totally agree with that here, Tony. You made a mistake. And
baseball, we see it all the time.
Sure. Oh, I do it. I do it all the time. I do it all the time.
Yeah, you all got it.
You know, but this one early in this season, I would say before Jordy Nelson had that bad game. You know, I looked to trade him. I thought he had a big game. I looked to trade him to get rid of Jordy Nelson, thinking maybe he would slow down. I didn't, and I'm happy I didn't because he was just tremendous, legitimately, all year here.
Yeah, no doubt. Legitimate, tremendous all season long. I mean, when you look back and you see the numbers, these are the typical Jordy Nelson numbers. 91 receptions, close to 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns. Big time season from Jordy Nelson. But like it's once again, it's a situation where you have the same quarterback, you have the same offense, familiarity with the system. So Jordy Nelson definitely being the number one guy. So Jordy Nelson continues to get it done. No reason why he's not a guy that's inside the first round or somewhere going on that turn in 2017. Jordy Nelson is the man. Rocking my saddle.
But that's the thing. Jordy Nelson's going to go in the same spot he always goes in. Yep. At that turn, end of the first, early second.
He had slipped in drafts this year because people were talking about, oh, he didn't look that healthy. He wasn't running as well. Remember, he had situations in that preseason.
That two-week period against the Giants in Dallas, people like.
He was going to the end of the second round.
He's not recovered.
And you know, draft day, though, he was going into the second round. What a steal he was.
Well, I wanted to pick him, like I said. I got him very cheap in an auction. Not very cheap. I got him cheap in an auction, and he went in the middle of the second round in my draft. So it was a little, which was the day before the season started. So that's kind of where his value finished up.
Yeah.
But you're right. No matter what he does, he's going to always go in the same spot. I don't get why. Like, why aren't we talking about Jordy Nelson going higher in drafts? I don't understand. What else can the guy do?
He's getting up there in age.
How old do you think he is getting up there in age?
Jordy Nelson's got to be close to 30, over 30 years old.
He is over 30 years old.
Yeah. How old is he?
He'll be 32 next year.
That's not bad.
That's not old.
That's not bad at all.
For wide receiver, yes. For running back, no.
Jordy Nelson's going to wind up with 95 catches for over 1,200 yards and almost 15 touchdowns. And you're going to take him. You're going to take him after a lot of guys. A lot of guys. Who had worse numbers than he did. Just saying.
Amari Cooper. And will have a higher ADP.
He should absolutely not go after Amari Cooper.
He'll have a higher ADP.
That's pretty funny.
He will, though.
No,
Amari Cooper will have a higher ADP.
You think so?
Yes,
I don't think so.
He will have a higher ADP. People remember Amari Cooper's last 7 weeks.
They didn't remember it last year?
They didn't remember it this year.
He was a guy that people wanted to
pull. He's not going to get picked over Jordy Nelson.
I'm telling you, he's going to have a higher ADP.
How many touchdowns does Jordy? Amari Cooper have?
I don't even think that, nowhere near. I couldn't tell you. Nowhere near.
If people don't look at the statistics, they might draft him over him.
Amari Cooper has 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, come on, man.
but the truth of the matter is, people are going to fall in love with the upside. They're going to buy into the upside. And Jordy Nelson and Amari Cooper will have a higher ADP than Jordy Nelson.
How can Amari Cooper?
I'm not saying it's right, but it's going to happen. They're going to
everybody
look at the
except for maybe Mike Cardano will not look at the stats and see one guy scored 15 touchdowns and another 4 against 4. Who is going to legitimately draft Amari Amari Cooper, except for maybe Cha-Cha because he's a freaking Raiders fan. Right. The stats are nowhere near close.
People are going to buy into the upside.
I don't think so. What do you think, Tony? I think it's crazy.
I think it's going to be, I think 50-50. I think it go either way, but they'll be relatively that close.
Let me ask you this, Corey. I don't think it'll be close. I think Jordy Nelson will clearly go over him personally.
Uh-huh.
But Jordy Nelson or T.Y. Hilton?
I take T.Y. Hilton.
So the stats don't matter to you? Stats don't matter to you.
Yeah, like T.Y. Hilton was a dog this year.
No. I'm just going to give you another reason. Jordy Nelson had 91 receptions. T.Y. Mm-hmm. Hilton had 6 less, 85.
Yeah.
Hilton had about, we'll give it 200 more yards.
Yeah.
Right? 8 less touchdowns. Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot less touchdowns. They don't use him in the red zone.
That's a big difference.
The way they use Jordan. But he also had a big difference in yardage, though.
Would you rank, if you're doing your preseason rankings, would you rank Hilton over Jordy?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's the same. The situation. Listen, you're comparing apples to apples right here. The situation
that's what we're trying to do.
I like the target volume. The volume of targets that the target share that T.Y. Hilton gets is unbelievable.
Jordy Nelson was targeted more this year than T.Y. Hilton.
He also played more games. He also played one more game, right?
No.
T.Y. Hilton wasn't hurt.
T.Y. Hilton, he came back in, didn't he? I don't think he missed a game.
What was the target difference? Just three. So it's about the same amount of targets, mm-hmm. even if he missed a game.
Mm-hmm. He did not miss a game. They both played every game.
I'm saying even if he did, it's still
sure.
in the same
whatever. Yeah.
I think they're two similarly ranked players. I think they both are in the conversation. But give me T.Y. Hilton.
Why?
I'm checking into the T.Y. Hilton because of my trust and faith in Andrew Luck. The offense.
What about
being
your trust and your faith in Aaron Rodgers?
I know.
He's a better quarterback.
Listen, it's a flip a coin situation, but I would go with T.Y. Hilton.
I'm waiting to hear why, though.
Wait. Tony, where are you at T.Y. Hilton versus Jordy?
I'd probably lean towards Jordy because of the touchdowns. I think he's the difference maker.
Right.
You got the Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, two great quarterbacks. You have the controlled offensive environment in Indianapolis. You got to wait and see what they do with that offensive line in the offseason. So I think it's close, and I could understand it. But the touchdowns is a huge difference.
Jordy Nelson has better numbers than every wide receiver here this year with those touchdowns. There's 14 touchdowns, better than Antonio Brown. Yards wise, he's less than
Mike
Evans.
How many does Odell have?
10.
Yeah, Devontae Adams also has 10. He has somebody on the same team as him.
Isn't that crazy? That's what happens when you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. They throw the ball nonstop.
Yeah.
Just saying. All right. So
they probably will next year.
Wouldn't be a bad draft. You know what? You could start off a draft.
Jordy Devontae?
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers? Why don't I get all three of them?
But see, that's risky. Because if Rodgers gets hurt,
then
you lose three players.
He's over.
Yeah.
He's already hurt.
Have some Scott Tolzien love, baby.
He's on all the team. He's on Indy now. He's on Indy. It's a Brett Hundley love.
Oh, Brett Hundley.
Yeah. Brett Hundley love.
Yeah, Tolzien, we actually saw him play this year.
That's right. That's how I knew that.
Would you take Mike Evans over both T.Y. and Jordy now? Dan Jordy?
I knew that was coming.
I would.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I would too.
Me too.
I don't know.
He has 11 touchdowns on the season. 91 receptions. Close to 13.
Jordy Nelson or Julio Jones?
Oh, it's Julio. I don't know why, but I'm always taking Julio.
I don't know why either, but I'm also taking Julio.
Because you like those 300-yard games.
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah, you're right. I'm taking Julio. I don't know why either. I'm glad you mentioned Devontae Adams.
Not like Jordy
hasn't
got hurt, you know?
Jordy's not really ever hurt. He had one towards ACL. Yeah.
Julio's more consistent.
More consistently hurt, yes. Devontae Adams, you brought him up. Corey, are you still not in on him next year?
Oh, boy.
You said you would let someone else take him next year.
At some point in the draft, I like all of these guys. But it depends on where his stock rises to, where his value jumps up into. If he jumps up into that third, fourth round range, I could probably fool with it on that 4-5 turn, but not in 3, and I think he goes in 3.
Okay.
That's where Randall Cobb normally goes in that third round range. That's where he'll go.
And that makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense. Would you rather have Devontae Adams or Michael Crabtree?
I don't know. I think I might go Crabtree.
Okay.
I can see more people going Adams for the upside.
Agree.
Oh, yeah. I could see people going for both ways, but I go back to 2 years ago when Adams flopped. 2 games ago, I watched him drop 2 touchdown passes.
Yes.
And like, you have Ty Montgomery. Don't know what his, you know, going forward. I guess he's going to be a running back, but I'm not 100% sure there. If they ever drafted a wide receiver, I think anyone you put in there could make plays. I would get a little scared about Adams as opposed to Crabtree.
The thing with Adams is, you look at it, the consistency. 3 of the last 6 games, single digits, mm-hmm. including a 2- and 4-point game, and that's PPR.
Yeah, right. when they're running the ball, Adams is not a part of it.
I also think we talk about like
they don't
just
run the ball that enough.
You talk about just like target distribution, right? And it seems like Aaron Rodgers always has so many weapons, always utilizes weapons. Oakland has Amari Cooper, and they got Michael Crabtree,
right?
And that's it.
The options are defined in Oakland.
You could look at Green Bay though, and you can say it's always Jordy, and then in any given week, it could be somebody else.
You're right. You're absolutely right with that. On the other side of things, for Minnesota, George Kurtz nailed it on our Saturday lineup lock show. Adam Thielen just has an insane
feeling. Thielen. That's right. Yeah.
I'm glad you listened to the program, Scott.
Yes.
Thielen had over 200 yards receiving here, 202, 12 receptions, 2 touchdowns on 15 targets. Stephon Diggs only 4 for 29 and 1. Where does Adam Thielen thing come from this year?
Where'd it come from?
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Bradford's comfortable with him. The guy's got deep gears.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
Precision in his route running. He can get down the field good. He's a tough cookie. I like him. I'm a fan.
Hey, this guy, depending on what happens next week,
is he draftable?
He's going to have 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah.
1,000 yards.
Is he draftable? He's a mid-round guy.
I think you have to be able
wide
to draft.
Wide receiver 3?
I think you have to draft him, Tony. He's going to have 1,000 yards receiving this year.
But that's a team that runs the football. That's their game. The quarterback is Sam Bradford. I don't know if we see
plus,
what. Go ahead, Tone.
Plus, don't you see them trying to upgrade their offense and moving him in? Him could be a guy that gets slid down to a number 3.
Yeah.
Like, he reminds me so much of like one of these slot receivers that.
But he's not really a slot receiver, though.
But I see him as one of those guys that end up being a slot receiver.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
Like Edelman, you're saying?
Wes Welker? Cole Beasley type?
Jeremy Curley. He's a Jeremy Curley type.
He's got more speed than Curley. He's got deep speed.
But Diggs is still the man in the passing game. It's still Diggs.
Yep. Yeah, I like
we've seen him hit a wall 2 years in a row, though.
He's injured this year.
Yeah. He's injured.
He got banged up this year. You catch 10 passes, it wears on you.
I think that I know we're going to ignore this Thielen thing. We're not going to like it at all. But it's going to be tough.
I kind of like him.
It's tough to ignore 1,000 yards.
Yeah, but it's
you're never going to want to put him in your
lineup.
He's
got some big playability.
He does.
I want to see what they do in the offseason. I want to know more about what's Teddy Bridgewater's status is.
Sure.
Sam Bradford threw 50 passes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is Sam Bradford going to continue to be the quarterback? What's going to be the situation with the running game? Are they going to get a
really
running back?
AP won't be there anymore.
Yeah, and Adrian Peterson won't be there.
They're not going to do this badass. You got a Jerick McKinnon thing.
They're in bad shape. So I think it's still some things that need to be settled on the offense before we can say that Adam Thielen is a
sixth, seventh
round guy.
Adrian Peterson's due a $6 million bonus in March, so you'll know really quickly.
Yeah.
Be Zeke's handcuff in Dallas.
What about guys? Kyle Rudolph had a really solid year. I know you don't like him, Corey. I knew that reaction was coming. But he's had a good year. No matter how you want to bring it down. 6 catches for 53 yards yesterday. On the year, 72 catches, 723 and 6. I don't know where that puts him tight end wise.
He's the third most productive tight end this year.
That says something, right?
Oh, he is. I have him as tight end.
I have him as 5. I have him as.
I got him as 8 by averages.
Okay.
I'm looking at overall. I got him at 3. ESPN PPR.
Really? He's at 3 overall?
Yeah.
I got him at 4 overall, so I don't know.
Double figures in the last five games.
He was targeted the second most of any tight end. A lot of that is because he played every game. But he was targeted the second most of any tight end in the league behind Greg Olsen.
72 receptions. Listen, it's a thing. 6 touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown.
33 catches in his last 5 games.
We're going to go back to Kyle Rudolph next year.
I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not fooling with him.
Why?
Because the draft stock going to go up. People going to look at those 72 receptions and things.
They're also, in Minnesota, there could also be a change in offensive coordinator. I don't know if that guy's permanently has
Pat Shurmur, sure.
North,
Yeah.
Yeah, if North Turner was the guy and then he took over the end of the season. So I don't know if they'll change the offensive coordinators there. That will change the tight end position if they do.
Last thing on this Minnesota
Travis
game.
Travis Kelce had a monster year.
Monster, monster
Is he the
year.
Number one tight end in fantasy football off of the boards next year?
It's a great question.
People are still going to take Gronk first.
Great question. I think you have Gronk. Still, people are going to take him first.
This is what we were waiting for with Kelce.
I think people are going to see the 1,000 yards from Greg Olsen. I know how he's been inconsistent. I think it's a great question, Scott. One last thing on this Minnesota-Green Bay thing. I was going over the game. I was making my notes for it. I just this thought came to me. How much money has Sam Bradford made in his career, man?
Oh, my God, a ton. How many draft picks? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
How much draft stock has been traded for Sam Bradford? And I'm telling you, Colt McCoy is a better quarterback than him.
I don't know about that.
He's got this thing for Colt McCoy, another ham and egger.
Sam Bradford, to me, he has the worst luck in the history of NFL quarterback. There's probably hasn't been a guy that's been on his back as much as Pamela Anderson than Sam Bradford. I mean, every team he's been on has been absolutely terrible.
He had no weapons in St. Louis.
I can't call him the bad luck because of how much money he's made, so
he
I don't really feel bad.
He had some bad receiving crews in St. Louis.
It's true. It's true.
Wow, he won a rookie of the year.
Oh, yeah.
If you put Teddy Bridgewater on that team this year, I can't even imagine what it would have looked like.
In a worse way, you think?
Oh, a lot worse, yeah.
Right.
I think Sam Bradford's a solid top 15 quarterback.
They started 5-0 and didn't make the playoffs.
So would you rather have, if you're the, I don't know, I guess the Vikings, but you'd rather have Sam Bradford than Tyrod Taylor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially when I have a stud like Sammy Watkins, if you told me he was healthy.
Right.
Like you saw the numbers Stephen Diggs put up when he was healthy.
Right.
Can you imagine what Sammy Watkins would do?
Sure. Corey, you agree with that?
Tyrod Taylor over?
Sam Bradford. He said Sam Bradford over Tyrod Taylor.
I don't know. I think I would go. I think I get a slight edge to Bradford.
I think we had to separate fantasy and reality in that question. Tyrod Taylor is a better fantasy player, but in reality, I think Sam Bradford is probably the quarterback I would have a better shot of going to the playoffs with.
I can agree with that.
All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back. St. Doug Marone is doing exactly what Jacksonville fans did not want him to do. We'll explain right after this. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Did you guys ever look at your calendar and Weird Beetle's birthday show up in it? Like, I'm looking at my calendar, I was explaining when I'm going on vacation. And I went up in March somehow, and Seth Everett, Scotty, his birthday shows up on my calendar.
Who's?
Seth Everett.
Seth Everett from Major League Baseball.
He used to work there, yeah. I don't know why.
He does a PR on MLB Network now.
Yeah. Does he?
Yeah.
I mean, he does some radio spots.
During the off season, you'll see him there.
All right, I hope so. I like Seth, but
does he work for the Phillies?
This is for the Mets at one point.
He used to work for the Mariners. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I like Seth. Anyway, Jacksonville.
He lived below Raul Abanez in when he was in Seattle.
Oh,
really?
He said he had a hard time sleeping at night due to Raul's actions in his room.
I can't tell if you're making that up or not.
Good for Raul.
If all the things in the world that I could make up, that would be a tough one.
That would be a random one to make up, for sure. But I don't put it past you.
Ask Seth next time.
I will. Next time I talk to him.
Say, how was it living under Raul Abanez?
That's hysterical. The Jacksonville Jaguars defeated Tennessee on Saturday, 38-17. And this one was a weird one.
Yeah, because
the Jags are blowing out the Titans even before Mariota's injury. The good news is Mariota should be fine for next year, which is important. But Jacksonville comes out roaring, which we do see sometimes when teams replace their coach.
Yeah.
But Tony, is this a bad thing for Jacksonville?
It's not a good thing, but here's the funny thing, is that whoever the coach is, right, the two games that Blake Bortles plays at the end of the season is not going to make a difference. Like, you see the whole season there. So people can't, like, get excited about the offseason. It's good for the home crowd because they won a game. at home. It was their first home win. Their other home win was in London. So it was good for them. Other than that, I don't see any positives to that. But it's a team that, you know what, it would be an attractive coaching job in that division, because we talked about the Houston Texans. As poor as they are, they've won this division 4 out of the last 6 years. You could really turn this around quickly in Jacksonville.
Absolutely, but I'm wondering that because of the performance here this week, is Doug Marrone going to be even under more consideration for the full-time position?
No. Okay. It's funny to me because I think he was brought in for the reason to take over this team.
Right.
But there's no buzz behind it.
Right. It'll be hired and everyone will just kind of look the other way and nobody will care. Right?
Yeah,
they're
trying to make a splash. So I think he's going to be a guy. Interesting that Doug Marrone, I listened to the interview before the game, and they were talking about what could you change. He said, well, we did a couple drills differently, but because the collective bargaining agreement, we're not even allowed to put pads on.
Right. You're only allowed X amount of padded practices. If they're done, they're done.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, so we really couldn't change much, right? So he's just coming out and telling the truth before the game, and I'm like, this is what's screwed up about the NFL, how you can never really get truly better. I mean, you're even limited to what you could do in practice, and they just came out and they played well.
Yeah, they did play well, including Allen Robinson, because, of course, Allen Robinson shows up in the fantasy finals, Scotty.
Yeah, after all year of, basically being a huge disappointment, so I believe that people are still going to be banking on a rebound year for Robinson. I don't think Hopkins had a good game this week.
So it's funny because we
were lumping those two guys together all year, and the narrative on Hopkins was, well, Savage looked for him when he got in relief. It's different when you start and the team prepares for you and they look at some film they have and they know your tendencies. I was not confident in either guy. Tony, to his credit, was confident in Robinson. I still didn't want to roll him out there in a fantasy championship, but in some cases, you really didn't have a choice, and he helped you win it.
He did. If you had him yesterday, I know Tony, you were someone that did have him. You did throw him out there yesterday, and you were champions. Well done there.
Yeah, that Tennessee secondary. A lot of it was matchup, but that Tennessee secondary, they just underperformed, and that's the one thing that team's going to have to fix going forward. Because you look at it, they have two great outside linebackers in Tennessee, and they can get to the pass.
Right.
They have a great running game. It's just the secondary was terrible.
Which is fixable, right? I think we're going to see Tennessee take a big step forward next year because the pieces are there. I think.
I think they'll be the favorite actually to win the division.
Yeah.
They should be. Fix some things on defense,
which is all doable.
Yeah,
you know,
you got your franchise quarterback.
Yep.
You know, hopefully everything goes okay in the recovery.
Yep.
You've got two very good running backs. You got some promise there with the pass catchers. You know, maybe one more playmaker in the passing game would certainly help and make him even better. But I think the pieces are there.
On the fantasy season, Allen Robinson 68 catches, DeAndre Hopkins 71. 801 yards for Allen Robinson, 831 for DeAndre Hopkins.
First round picks.
Allen Robinson, 6 touchdowns, DeAndre Hopkins, 4. Very similar players all year long.
4 touchdowns.
Very similar players all year long.
Wow. DeAndre Hopkins and Amari Cooper had the same amount of touchdown receptions.
Obvious question coming. DeAndre Hopkins and Allen Robinson are both first round picks this year. Mid first round picks, middle of the round. Next year, there's still Allen Robinson, there's still DeAndre Hopkins. What do we do with him, Corey?
You go back to him, especially DeAndre Hopkins. The talent is too real. Yeah, the talent is real with Allen Robinson, but DeAndre Hopkins is like one of the pound-for-pound best players in the NFL. In my opinion, I think you go back to him. You take advantage of the discount that you'll get. Should drop into the middle of the second round. Maybe some people are so disgusted he drops to the third round. The quarterback situation is more than likely not going to be better next year. But I would take that. I would take that discount. I wouldn't go all in, but I would take that discount, and I definitely would invest in him in some places. And with Allen Robinson, I think you don't get as big a discount. I think people will look at Bortles. I doubt Bortles is. I don't know if Bortles is back next year, but I think this could be a situation where you could see Allen Robinson also going in that third round range. I go back to both places.
If you're getting the guys in the third round, you're gonna feel awesome. Like, even though I know the numbers, I know I just read them and how bad they were. But you're getting these guys in the third round with the potential to have a mid-first rounder, essentially, right? If you somehow start off your draft let's say you pick early third round, right? And you start off your draft with Antonio Brown somewhere in the early first round. And in the next round, you come back somewhere in the second round and you grab
D-Hop.
DeAndre Hopkins. And then you get around in the third round with Allen Robinson. Jesus. Yeah, that's pretty.
Would you want both of them?
You don't have no running back.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Zero RB, baby.
Would you want both of them, though? I don't know.
Get LeGarrette Blount in round 7.
There you go. There you go.
I think ideally, like what you just laid out with Antonio Brown, it's like, I think you're very comfortable if you get one of these guys as a wide receiver, too.
You're absolutely right.
You know, if you take a running back first and you got to get him as a wide receiver one, I don't know if you feel
Scotty, what if I drafted David Johnson and then have Allen Robinson and DeAndre Hopkins as my two wide receivers?
I don't know if I want both bounce back guys. Yeah, like, I'd rather get either guy as my wide receiver two rather than the one.
That's fair. That's completely fair. Chris Ivory yesterday. What do I think of him next year?
See, this is what I'm about to talk about. The Jaguars have got to figure out what they're going to do with this running game. They can't just be dropped back, throw the football 45, 50 times. They got to figure out what to do with this running game. And I don't like either player.
Okay. Well, Ivory being RB4 because he's always shown flashes, but the guy has gotten hurt every single season.
And that's why I don't like Ivory is the inconsistency.
His inconsistency and injuries.
And Yeldon,
he was one of only seven running backs last year that ran for 1,000 yards. So Ivory, whether you say he's hurt or not, he was the only one of only seven.
But well, you can't depend on him, Tony.
Tony, if I said that, you would tell me I don't care about last year.
Well, no, but I'm saying what he has the ability, that offensive line is poor. If I'm going to get him in the fourth or fifth round, I will absolutely draft him every time.
I think you can get him later than that. You know, he rushed for 1,000 last year. The Jets gave him the opportunity. We got banged up last year, too, so not somebody I want.
But I'm saying whether he's banged
lineup.
Up or not, only six guys were better.
He's had one good year out of how many?
Chris Ivory, next year will be 29 years old. Only rushed 439 and 3 this year. I don't know. I don't know what I feel of Chris Ivory. Like, you don't have to spend to get him. He's like fine.
That offensive line is terrible.
Awful. It's absolutely awful.
Blake Bortles gets sacked all the time. He had 2+ years of 50 plus sacks. That is a huge problem there, and that's why I wouldn't go all in on Ivory. But I think if he was in the right situation there,
yeah, I agree.
Bringing a couple linemen, I would be there.
Like he went to New England. Would he do what LeGarrette Blount did?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think so, too.
You'd have 10 touchdowns instead of 16, though, because you'd miss 4 games.
And running back Von Miller said that Chris Ivory is the hardest hitting running back.
Von Miller said that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Speaking of running backs.
That's an issue, though, because, you know, he lays it out as good as he gets it, and he gets hurt.
Speaking of running backs, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about Derrick Henry, bro.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
That didn't work out so great.
No.
But neither did DeMarco Murray. That didn't really work out great either.
That really
it's gonna hurt.
No, it cost me because you know who I benched for him, right?
Brandon LaFell. Yeah.
Brandon LaFell touchdown.
Yeah.
Is going to end up costing me.
How are you gonna tell us how much money? Is that what's about to happen?
Uh huh. I tell you right now, that Brandon LaFell, me starting Henry. Oh, yep. Me starting Henry over LaFell. That would have been a plus. That would have $1,250.
Oh my God. You know, that doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't.
Greg. No, thank you.
$1,250 is what that one. I mean, when he was running, I was like, tackle him, tackle him, tackle him, tackle that Mickey, boop, 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 that son of a boop, boop, boop. I was screaming to tackle him, and he didn't get tackled. He scored a touchdown.
No, he did not.
And there you go, right there sitting on my bench, nice and lovely, is 25 points from Brandon LaFell.
DeMarco Murray killed you yesterday with 42 rushing yards. That's how you lose championships.
That's how, yeah. But it was amazing day on week 16 because you saw some huge performances.
Yep,
sure.
So you had to put up some big scores there. But you know what? I say that, but there were a lot of guys with big performances that probably weren't played in week 16. I mean, I put up in our greatest chat, I think I had the most points this week with 136. And there was a couple of guys that had zeros in some of the contests when you look at them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Rishard Matthews, he had a touchdown on Sunday. I think he's going to have a good year next year. I'm going to Rishard Matthews in the middle rounds of the draft.
Yep,
I like him.
Yeah, I'm going back. I like him, too. It's like a lot of us had him as a sleeper this year.
Rishard Matthews next year or Jameson Crowder?
Well, let's not get carried away.
Just asking.
Let's not get carried away. I'm going Jameson Crowder.
I think that... kind of similarly ranked players, you know.
That's what
I agree.
Close,
yeah.
It wasn't so crazy.
No, yeah. No. I said, but still, you still, you know.
I think it could be crazy next year because Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah. You're right.
Both free agents. Good so point. If he's he might be the only guy there. So that will be interesting to see if they bring Kirk Cousins back.
Sure.
What they do with wide
a lot
receiver.
Of questions in Washington.
Yeah. That's going to be a big one to watch during the offseason.
Just
don't throw the ball. They don't throw the ball in Tennessee enough. Man, I think Matthews is pretty good. I think he's going to be pretty good. They just don't throw it enough.
Right.
But
right.
They want a key play, though. That's the guy they look to.
Yeah, that's true. Marcus Mariota has definitely developed some chemistry here with
Kirk
Matthews.
Cousins, quarterback 6 on the season.
Nice year for Kirk Cousins. When we come back, we're going to clap it up for our favorite game from Saturday. We'll do it next. I hear you, Scott. Thank you. Scott and I, during the break, talking about playoff scenarios, trying to see how the Seahawks and Giants can't play each other. Because I don't think I have no interest in having the Giants go to Seattle. It doesn't sound like he really wants the Giants there either.
No. Without Earl Thomas against Odell Beckham Jr., I don't want to see that.
You don't want to see the 49ers right now.
You know, I'm just looking at
exaggeration slightly.
You need to
beat him. We play him next week, right?
Yeah.
Beat him.
Can beat him.
Beat him. You could. You could.
I don't understand. I don't understand two things. I don't understand two things from you. Maybe
you,
maybe you want
to
answer this.
Continue to get underneath your skin by talking about the Seahawks and the Mets. You don't understand that.
I don't understand your disdain for the Seahawks all of a sudden this year.
No,
When I said to you, I'm glad Dallas is doing well.
I just like picking fun at you, Scott.
Yeah.
I
don't understand your confidence when the Cowboys haven't won diddly squat yet.
All right, well, you'll see. I know we'll beat Seattle.
Because this could be 2007 all over again when you guys had the best record and the Giants knocked you off yet again.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep rooting for Detroit and see what happens. Yeah. I'm just going to keep rooting for Detroit.
They played tonight.
The way I'm looking at it is, you know, they're still in the playoffs. They still won the division. There's been a lot worse times than this as a fan. So, you know, I'll take it.
You can't feel comfortable, though, Scott. You can't. You can't.
Did I say that?
You can't.
I said
you're
at the top of the show.
You're going into the playoffs on.
We're missing Earl Thomas. The offensive line is not playing
now.
Well.
Every team has injuries. You think Oakland Raider fans is not missing the playoffs?
Last year,
Rob Gronkowski.
Hold on.
Last year, when the overrated Tony Romo was lost, you were crying because they won 3 games, right?
Yeah, the overrated
Tony
Romo.
There are some guys who are just impossible to replace. Earl Thomas is the best safety in all of football at his position.
The general
is very,
secondary.
Very, very tough to. They gave up 38 points to Green Bay and 34 to Arizona, mainly because of his loss.
And let's hope they don't give up 34 to San Francisco next week.
I doubt that. They gave up 3 to Los Angeles.
They're going
to
beat who they in Seattle or San Francisco.
In San Francisco, it doesn't matter. But they gave up 3 to Los Angeles. They're not going to beat teams like the Packers, the Falcons, without Earl Thomas.
These are menial things to worry about. See, if you're a fan of the Patriots, you just trade your 2 best defensive players.
It's true.
I don't understand where he's going with that. Menial
Chandler
things.
Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins, they traded him. So you guys worry about injuries. We just trade him away.
Well, we worried about injuries because there's such a far fall off from a guy like Thomas to Terrell.
Yeah.
Well, we got a guy replacing Jamie Collins that was cut by the Colts.
I mean, you talk about losing Gronkowski. The Patriots are used to that.
Well, I think with the Seahawks, needs to start winning because one home game, you need to get other home games right than one because they're a much different team at home. You know, they lost yesterday to a team that knows them very, very well.
I think if Atlanta wins next week, it won't matter though.
Like, oh, it won't.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
It won't.
You're absolutely right.
So I think they'll win one game and then they could be out, you know?
Right. Well, hopefully that
But anything could happen in the NFC. I wouldn't be surprised to see Atlanta win the NFC. I was thinking it through.
Really?
Yeah.
You've
really?
Said all. You've said there are jokes all year.
The defense has really picked it up the last few weeks. It's like Vic Beasley, like big difference maker there.
Yeah.
And who really has a good defense in the NFC now, except for the Giants?
The Dallas reason
Cowboys
I don't see
the defense in the league versus the run.
What's that?
Dallas Cowboys have number one defense in the league versus the run.
That's about time of possession. Dallas does not
you
have a good defense.
You make a lot of excuses, Scott. You make a lot of excuses.
It's a lot of excuses. You just admitted it yourself a half hour ago.
Yeah, but that's how they play.
They don't have a good defense.
Wait.
Your team can try to play like that.
You can't say they don't have a good defense and they allow less than 81 yards per game against the run.
I think it's about game flow. That defense would be out there a lot more. They would get exposed.
But what they're doing is they're dictating game flow. That's
exactly.
Part of their game.
I'm giving you credit. Yeah, I'm saying they're coached up very well. They don't have a good defense. They have a very good game plan that they execute every week.
By the way,
other than the NFC, other than the Giants, I don't see a team that has a championship level defense.
So just for the
record, it might not be about defense winning championships
this year.
So
Seattle averages 17.9 points per game against. Giants are third. This is the second in the league.
Right.
Giants are third, 18.3. Cowboys are fourth, 18.4.
It's a skewed number, though.
You can say it's skewed all you want, but it's doing the job, right? Like, it's doing the job.
I said that. I said, you know, they coach very well. They dominate time
right,
of possession
right.
to the point where they're getting leads, and the defense can pin its ears and take risks, you know, against other teams. I don't think that's a quality, high-quality unit, though.
That's called strategy.
It's right. I give it to you. The great strategy. They're coaching up very well. 2 years ago, they didn't have a good defense, and they did it the same way. And to their credit, they came back, and they replaced DeMarco Murray. They replaced Tony Romo. With Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, and you see the results.
You can find whatever. All we know is the defense has been good enough, obviously, this year to get them where they are. And I think good enough. I know you think defense with championships. And
I don't know if it'll be the case this year. Because
right.
you look at the teams with the best defenses are the Giants and the Chiefs.
Right.
Now, the Giants are interesting because they have the best weapon maybe in all of football in the playoffs. When you look at Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. And they have a quarterback where if he can turn on the light at any time, we've seen what he can do, so the Giants are dangerous.
Yeah, but the best weapon going into the playoffs is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the most dangerous player on the field going into the playoffs. Yeah. And then behind Aaron Rodgers is Le'Veon Bell.
Odell's pretty scary, to be fair.
Odell's pretty scary.
Odell's a hell of a weapon.
Odell can do it all by himself.
Odell's a weapon.
See, I think Green Bay is the toughest matchup for Dallas in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a tough match.
I agree with that.
Green Bay has had some success against the run.
Atlanta would be a good matchup, too.
The only problem, I think Dallas would run all over them. Like, they would just tear the ball and just run straight at them. Wait,
you don't think they can run on Green Bay?
Well, Green Bay has had success against running backs, and if Aaron Rodgers can put up points.
It would force Dallas.
You better root hard for Detroit next week, also.
It will force Dallas to abandon their style of playing, which would expose their defense more.
I think that Atlanta defense has gotten better, but they've gotten better against the pass. I just wonder, and Dallas is so much different than every other team as far as their running game goes, if they would just be overmatched.
I think Atlanta is...
They can run on anyone.
I think Atlanta is tougher than people think, though.
They've gotten better as the season has worn on in terms of the
defense. I would like to see a division round game of Atlanta and Green Bay. I think Atlanta can run with it.
But here's the problem with Atlanta.
You face Seattle or the Giants the next round.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just so you know. Just saying.
As we say, you are what you are, right?
Right.
Atlanta's allowed 374 points this year.
It's a lot of points.
Which is 10 more than Green Bay, which is 125 more than Dallas, 100 more than the Giants. Like, I look at those numbers. They are what they are. I mean.
Let's look at it. Dallas would be the number one, right? Atlanta should be number two. Seattle would be number three.
Well, you know, we obviously say that, like, Atlanta would be number two. Atlanta, New Orleans isn't.
No, that's not. No, that's not a cakewalk.
No.
That's a division game.
No, but
that's a rivalry game on New Year's too.
So where is that game?
That game should be in the Georgia Dome.
I think it's in the Georgia Dome also.
Let's just say that game and the Peach Bowl are both.
It's in Atlanta.
Let's just say if it's Dallas.
What day is the football game? I mean,
January 1st.
I believe it. I believe the college games are not played on the 1st this year.
They're not. They're on the 2nd. Okay. They're on the 2nd.
So the Peach Bowl is on Friday, and the Falcons play on Sunday.
No. The Peach Bowl is Monday.
Oh, the Peach Bowl is Monday. Yeah. Okay.
Very likely the Giants could go to Green Bay in the first round.
It's very likely they go to they're going to Seattle, Green Bay, or Detroit. Most likely.
I'm thinking they go to Green Bay.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers is still a fraud, even though he's going to win MVP. Did you see him jump in the stands?
Yeah.
Green Bay, Dallas, Seattle, Atlanta.
Him and Ben Roethlisberger are the biggest fake injury guys in the league.
I'm just going
Ben Roethlisberger is notorious fake injury guy. He's coming out of the tunnel.
Let's say it's Atlanta, Seattle in the NFC, and Green Bay and Dallas are those 2 second round games. I think Atlanta would advance.
I noticed you eliminated the Giants quickly. Interesting.
I think they're going to go to Green Bay and lose.
Oh, they could beat the Green Bay. I'm much more worried about Seattle, to be honest with you.
I think Seattle would lose at Atlanta. And all right, so could Green Bay beat Dallas in that second round?
Sure.
What do you think, Corey?
Yeah.
But you know what? Green Bay still cannot make the playoffs for the rest.
Yeah, that's Green Bay hasn't cleansed the ticket.
Because then it could be Green Bay Atlanta in the NFC Championship.
Green Bay's not in yet.
No, I'm saying, you know, if the season ended today and these were the seeds, you know, like...
I was...
Just for having fun's sake, let's say these are the seeds, you know?
All right.
So I think the Giants' defense is the best left, right? And
right.
Yet, I was listening to some discussion on their defense this week. It's a weird defense because I don't know what the status of Jason Pierre-Paul is. If he can't play, which I don't expect
him
to play,
let's assume he doesn't play, yeah.
They have no pass rush. That defense is so good with the defensive backs they're built on. Where are they going to get any pass rush on people?
Well, I mean, Olivier Vernon's actually been very, very good this year. But, you know, JPP obviously hurts, right? It hurts in a major way. All the Giants' prowess in that secondary with Janoris Jenkins, how good he has been, Landon Collins, obviously, as well.
Yeah, both guys. Great.
Tony's right, because you got to be able to protect the secondary in the playoffs with your pass rush.
Sure. You know, we'll see what happens. All right, take a break here. We'll come back. I do want to get to my favorite game of the week, including where I think Josh McDaniels ends up. All that and more here on the Road to Experts. Here on the
Road. I feel like I should be at the beach in the Caribbean with this music.
All right, back here on the Road to Experts.
You were mentally there for a minute, weren't you?
Yeah, I got on the beach, my drink, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
In the warmth, rather than this disgusting cold. At least the city's empty today, Scott.
It is, you know, and it's not terrible cold today.
No, and tomorrow's supposed to be like 60, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, let's clap it up, guys. I know you're not clapping. There you go. Hugh Jackson's won a game, everybody.
Yeah.
He did it.
Oh.
He did it.
Congratulations.
He did it.
To the Cleveland Browns.
They will not join the Detroit Lions in infamy. They defeat the San Diego Chargers 20-17. Hugh Jackson has done it.
Shout out to Hugh.
I'm sorry, Tony. I know you wanted to go 0-16 and still have a job.
No. I felt better on Christmas that, you know, you don't have to worry about. Yeah. I would think that he gets a shot with one win.
Crazy's the main sound, I think, right?
I think it made a big difference. I think he's going to be back.
I think so, too. Did you see?
And I give him credit. I give him credit because he didn't know how to react. Because you can't, like, go crazy like you won the Super Bowl when you have one, you know, you won one win.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was happy, and you could tell, but he went out of his way to make sure he didn't go crazy.
I agree with that. He also, like, you kind of see him just like, just had like a deep breath, let it out. It's like, all right, we got it. We got one finally, you know? RG3 gets hurt again in this one.
Kessler's going to start this week.
Yeah, Cody Kessler starting on Sunday against Pittsburgh. He has a concussion. Isaiah Crowell, pound of the rock. Would you rather have Isaiah Crowell or Chris Ivory next year?
Crow.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Crowell.
All right, I'm sure everyone wants Crowell.
Let me
see, the thing with Ivory is, and what Tony was just talking about is, he went in the 10th round and 8th round of some drafts last year. There can be a point where Chris Ivory can be a value, but I don't want him as like one of my top three running backs.
But since we're talking about like the future and different things like that, What's DeMarco Murray contract situation?
I don't know.
I'll get that.
We'll get that in a second. Terrell Pryor, Corey Coleman. They're so useless with RG3. Both of them are just so useless with RG3.
Yeah.
They got to find a better quarterback to throw these guys the ball. Maybe Cody Kessler's that guy.
Maybe Kessler get a chance to start. Battle for a starting job next year.
Maybe it's possible. We'll see. We'll see what they do.
I think they like what they saw. The one thing I question is, though, with Hugh Jackson is, and I'm not calling for his firing necessarily, but when you win one game, maybe two, because
right.
the Steelers might rest a lot of starters next week, is do you just clean house? Because it's very hard to establish a winning tradition when you start a regime like that.
Right. Tony, do you think I think Chip Kelly should be fired after Saturday?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. DeMarco Murray he's not going. He got a friendly contract. He only got $6.5 million next year.
Yeah, he'll be there. And then the roster bonus is the roster bonus is not till 2018, and that's when there's no dead space against the cap. He'll get cut after next season.
But he'll be back next year. That makes sense. Derrick Henry, the guy in the third year, three. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But yeah, Chip Kelly should be fired.
I said before the preseason that this guy was going to run the team into the ground, and unfortunately, they can't play the Rams 16 times.
No, but what I'm saying is, you have now a shot at the number one overall pick, and you win. What is wrong with you? Like, lose. Just lose like you have all year.
No, you can't do that because you judged on games you win. That's what I tell people all the time.
Yeah.
Is that the coach doesn't care about next year because.
You're right. He'll be here next year.
Next year is not guaranteed.
He won't be here.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Back to this.
Or Rex. Or 8-8, right? He's worried about it, so everybody else should worry about it.
Back to Cleveland and San Diego here for a second. Doncho Inman let everybody down. Corey, you said he was owning like 70% of your tournament here. He let everybody down this week.
Yeah, wasn't a good game for Doncho Inman. This is the thing about this thing. This San Diego Charger passing attack minus Keenan Allen, you don't know who it's going to be. So, and I think that'll continue. But Keenan Allen will be back next year.
I'm excited for Tyrell Williams, Keenan Allen combo.
I started Travis Benjamin in daily.
That worked out.
Revenge game.
That worked out. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
By the way, Josh McDaniels ends up in L.A. with the Chargers. Has his quarterback. Has an offense. Things go his way. A little health. My prediction is
Who's
Josh McDaniels.
Quarterback?
Phil Rivers.
Really?
Yeah.
19 interceptions.
We'll talk about that more on the other side of the break. Here are the Roto Experts. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on Demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.